Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Samech Dalid in Nida. Slowly but surely, we're catching up. Now, that's great. Number one, I believe we're finishing Shas in a matter of a week and a half, as Stuart so calmly announced today after davening. Number two, and we'd like to finish Shas with the rest of the world. Also great because we have Tisha B'Av coming up, and so we're going to miss a day of learning. Sunday, you're not allowed to learn. Tisha B'Av is Aser B'Talmud Torah. So we could have a daf on Sunday night, late Sunday night. I have not tried that historically. There's no reason why I shouldn't try it. But what I suggested we're going to do is on Shabbos, we're going to learn a little bit extra so that we will, if we're caught up by Shabbos, which hopefully we will be, so then we'll actually be ahead so that after Tisha B'Av, we won't fall that far behind. Okay, we move in topics now. We've spent a long time talking about ksamim. Kesem by a woman, an actual stain without any hargasha. So that's been our topic now for some time. We started the topic in the eighth parak. So that takes us all the way back to Daf Nun Zainam and Beis. And now, as we got to the new Mishnah, bottom of Samech Yom Amud Aleph, so that's it. Close a chapter. Now, I know we're in the middle of the ninth chapter, so I'm not speaking literally, but we've closed a chapter on the topic of ksamim. Okay, so now we know everything there is to know about ksamim. Actually, no. We just learned the Gemara together. There's a lot more to know about ksamim, but we have now the beginning of an understanding. Now we move to a new topic, and that's the topic of vestos. Vestos is a fun topic. It's the Gemara here is not going to spend that much time on it. It's just going to be the remainder of the ninth parak that's going to talk about ksamim. Hopefully, we'll cover the whole thing today. Okay, why not? And vestos is the following. It's the schedule of a woman, anticipation of her monthly schedule. Now, it comes in one of two forms. It comes either through yamim or it comes through vestos aguf. Now, yamim is, we're going to discuss later this morning. Yamim talks about some sort of daily schedule, either because they're spaced evenly apart or because they're coming at one particular day of the month. I say the month, by the way, of course, I mean the Jewish month. I do not mean the lunar month. I do not mean the secular calendar that we have as well, which we don't ignore. We take into consideration, but when we talk about months, we're talking about the lunar calendar. And there is a thinking that a woman's schedule could be tied in with the lunar calendar, and you'll speak to people who know much more about this than me. I don't know much about this. But that's not going to be our topic to begin with. Our topic to begin with is going to be Vestos Aguf. So we start a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is on the bottom of Samech Yema Amud Aleph. Kol Isha Sheish La Vest Dayashaita. So first of all, what difference does it make whether she has a schedule? She doesn't have a schedule. So once she has a fixed schedule, Dayashaita, that takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Everyone remember? Beginning of the Masechta, we learned that a woman, the moment that she's Roanida, so she's Tamea. Now, do we go back retroactively? So perhaps, as we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, there's an argument to make that we should go back retroactively because she's a Nida not when the Dam emerges out of her body, but actually as it enters into her canal. So as we mentioned up above, so the woman should become a Nida not when it actually emerges, but right when it goes through the cervix and enters into the canal. And that might be some time earlier. So it was the first machlokus that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, between Shammai and Hillel. Shammai says, Dai Shaitan, every woman's Dai Shaitan, which means that the moment that emerges from her body, the moment that she actually sees it, we're not going to assume that she had any time prior to where she saw blood. That was the position of Shammai. Hillel took another position, nearly as extreme. Hillel says the other way. That no, we don't know when the blood came out. Could be that it's been sitting in the canal for some time. We simply have no idea. So Hillel says, we're going to go back. When are we going to go back to? The last time she did an examination, whenever that may be. And so that means that retroactively, anything that she is going to come into contact with, not for the past 24 hours, but however long back she hasn't examined herself, so she's going to be metame, everything retroactively. And finally, there was a compromised position of the Chachamim. Not like Shammai, not like Hillel, but Meis Leish, 24 hours retroactively. Okay, that is what we learned in the first Mishnah. That was the first Machlokas that we saw. The Mishnah itself, the first Mishnah, Beis Amud Aleph, the very beginning of the Masechta, writes the following. Kol Isha Sheish La Vest Dayashaita. Okay. And the Mishnah says, any woman who has a fixed schedule, Dayashaita. Meaning, so for those women who know exactly when their Eis Hanida is going to come, So for them, they don't have to go back because they know they have a fixed schedule. Okay. In fact, you already realize there's a question coming up in the Gemara because the Mishnah, Bav Beis Amud Aleph, says, Kol Isha Sheish Lavest, Da'i Shaita. How does our Mishnah open up? With the exact same words, Kol Isha Sheish Lavest, Da'i Shaita. So you know already, it's going to bother the Gemara. We already have this information at the beginning of the Masechta. So now we're in the ninth parak, second to last parak of the Masechta. So what are we doing? We're repeating the same exact information. You know that question's coming. Okay. But that is point number one, that a woman who has a vest is daishaita. Now, a vest just simply means she's on a schedule. She's on a fixed schedule. How do we establish a woman's fixed schedule? So as I mentioned in the beginning, it's either going to be done through days or it's going to be through vestes aguf. Our Mishnah is going to be talking about vestes aguf. What does that mean? So let's read the Mishnah inside. So ve'eloina vestos. So the vestos are as follows. Now again, we're not talking about spacing of days. We're now talking about some sort of physical reaction to the onset of Nida. Number one says the Mishnah is Mapekes. Now, what does Mapekes mean exactly? So you can take a look at Rashi, and if your French is good, you may understand what Rashi is saying. So it's not clear what Mapekes actually means. It's a stretching, it's a yawning. Usually when you yawn, you stretch. It could be burping. It's a possible shot in terms of what it means. Okay, so I'm not really sure what mapeket means. Me'atesha sneezes. V'choshesh b'pikresa v'shfule me'eha. Or she has some sort of cramp, stomach cramp, lower abdominal cramp, v'shofas. Or she's flowing. Now, that's a little bit difficult, meaning if she's flowing, that means she's anida. Meaning, we're looking for things that come in conjunction with her being anida. So shofas is very strange, meaning that's not something that comes in conjunction. That is her being anida. So the Gemara is going to ask that question. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Uchemin samar moros. Ochsenosa. Or if she has some sort of samar moros. Again, not 100% sure what that means. If you're good with your French, you'll understand what Rashi's saying. I'm not so good with my French. I don't know what Rashi's saying. But again, some sort of cramp, some sort of physical ailment. Maybe it's a fever. Anyway. V'chein kayotze behem, and anything like this. So in other words, essentially what the Mishnah is saying is like this. If a woman has her nida, but in conjunction with her onset of her nida, she has any one of these physical reactions, cramps, sneezing, yawning, anything that's mentioned in the Mishnah, or anything similar to this, to what's being mentioned in the Mishnah, so now she knows. In other words, she has a built-in alarm system. She now knows when her nida is going to come, because she has a standard physical bodily reaction to the onset of her nida. Now, this isn't a function of spacing, understand. This has nothing to do with, they come 20 days apart, they come 30 days apart. This is not a function of spacing. This is what's called Veses Haguf. And just simply when she now has any one of these bodily reactions, these natural bodily reactions, she can then at that point in time rest assured that along comes the nida. Now, we're going to throw around the word chazaka a lot today, right? It's going to be one of our big themes for today is chazaka, meaning that in order for a woman to get to a fixed pattern, she needs to be muhsak, she needs to have a chazaka. Now, how many times does it take for anything to become mochzak, right? We're talking about women right now, but this is a global discussion throughout all of Shas. How many times does it take anything to be mochzak? So we should all be familiar. It's a machlokas. Machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. Rebbe says two times, and Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel says three times. Okay, perhaps that when it comes to Vestas Aguf, you don't need a chazaka. Now, I say perhaps. Stay tuned, we're going to see the Gemara a little bit later on this morning. You're going to see that there seems to be a Gemara that states clearly that for these Vestas Aguf, you don't need a Chazaka. Meaning, that if a woman has her onset of need to come with any one of these physical, any one of these biological, physiological reactions, and it occurs even just one time, that's it, she now is set. Where this is now going to be the trigger, this is going to be the alarm that indicates that she is now, the onset of need has occurred. Okay, stay tuned. Now, the Mishnah says over here, now, despite everything I just told you about there's no need for a chazaka, the Mishnah over here says you need a chazaka. If you are established it three times, so you have now set yourself up for a vest for a fixed schedule. So, our Mishnah states very clearly that in order for a woman to have this type of Eses HaGuf, so it needs to occur on three occasions. So that means sneeze, nida, sneeze, nida, sneeze, nida. Okay? And once you have those confluence of events occur three times, so now she knows that she sneezes. Okay. Tanina Chavizimna. Now, here's the Gemara, and the Gemara is really bothered by what I mentioned just in the beginning of today, of the Shir. What's going on in our Mishnah? It's repeating the same thing we learned on day one of Masechta Nida. 62 days ago, 2 months ago. Tanina Chavizimna calls Yisha Sheish Laves Ayashaita. So it's the first mission of the Masechta. So the Gemara answers, Hasam Bevestos de Yuma, Hacha Bevestos de Gufa. Good. But we're talking about two different types of Vestos. Vestos can either be established by spacing by days, or Vestos can be established by bodily reaction. So our mission over here is talking about physiological reaction. That's what's called Vestos Aguf. The first mission of the Masechta is talking about Vestos Ayamim. It is interesting because the first Mishnah doesn't really explore Vestos Ayamim. Meaning, the Mishnah just simply says, Kol Isha Sheish Lavest, Dayashaita. But it doesn't go into any detail. Meaning, if our Mishnayos were to be patterned after the Gemara's answer over here, what you would then expect is, then after the first Mishnah, to then say, oh, let me explain to you how Vestos Ayamim work. And it doesn't. So, it's interesting, but the Gemara assumes that that's the simple answer between why these lines of the Mishnayos are repeated. Because two different types of vestos. Kidiktani Eloin vestos haya mapekes matesha zechoshesh b'fikresa uvishvulimeya vishafas vishafas. Okay, so it's clear the Gemara just simply points out that our Mishnah is talking about vestos aguf, as our Mishnah gives examples of yawning, sneezing, cramping. In other words, clearly our Mishnah is talking about vestos aguf. The Gemara now is bothered by the second issue, which I raised back in the Mishnah, shofas. The woman's flowing. That's a vestos aguf. That's a vestos aguf. That's called being a nida, meaning there's no confluence of events. Meaning her flowing is her being a nida. Shafa, so hashafa, the azla. Meaning that's the very definition of being a nida. Woman is flowing. So how is that a veses haguf? So amar ula, bereder of ula, b'shafa'as dam tami, mitoch dam tahor. So the Gemara explains, very simply. Look, it can be a veses haguf. How? Because it could be that what happens is that the precipitation of the anticipation of her nida comes with a flow of tahor blood. We talked earlier in the Masechta, a woman, let's say, has a flow of yellow coming out of her. So it's machlokus. Akavia ben Mahalo says that yellow is dam, but that's not how we hold. We hold dam is red or black. So let's say she has yellow coming out of her, but every single time now that she has yellow coming out of her, it immediately is followed with red. So it's yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow, red. So that's a veses aguf. So in other words, that's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says shofas. Shofas means she has dam tahor coming out, and then she learns after three times, and what happens next is that she has dam tami coming right after that. Now the Mishnah says, and anything like this. So what's anything like this? Amar Rabba Barula Lesui Isha Shirosha Kavir Aleha Ve'evraha Kvedem Aleha Verosachas Vigosa. So other types of physical reactions. Literally, her head is heavy, her limbs are heavy, fever. Okay, again, Rashi goes into French to describe what these things are. Again, the point is very simple, that more physiological reaction to her, the onset of Nida. Now, Amar Vuna Barchia Amar Shmuel. Hare Amru Liyamim Shnayim Levestos Achas. And Lamashla Manu Chachamim Shlosha. Now, the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel the following. Shmuel says that if it's a Vest Hayamim, if it's a question of days and spacing, so then the magic number is 2. If it's for Vestos, now the word Vestos over here in this context means Vestos Aguf. Vestos is a funny word. It comes up in our Masechta under the guise of a number of different definitions. It could be talking about her schedule. It could be talking about the actual onset. It's like it could be talking about immediately. It's Vestos is like one of those words that the Gemara throws around, and you just got to look at the context to see what it means. So liyamim shnayim. So if it's a question of spacing, days apart, so then the magic number is 2. If it's a question of vesus agof, the magic number is 1. And lamashal amanu chachamim, and anything not discussed in our Mishnah, so the magic number is going to be shlosha, it's going to be 3. Right. Clear? Not really. Not particularly clear. But basically it means like this. Shmuel's basically saying like this. Look, if it's a vesus hayamim, so we need a chazaka. Now, how many times does it take to make a chazaka? So as I mentioned above, it's machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So it sounds like what Shmuel's saying over here is, I subscribe to Rabbi. Meaning so that 2 times already makes a chazaka. Okay. So that means that a woman sees and then 20 days later she sees again. Okay. So the 20 now is set as 1 time. Then the next 20 days later she sees again. So now that's a 2nd time she saw at an interval of 20 days. According to Rabbi, she's locked in. She's locked into a pattern of 20 days. So that means now 20 days from now she's totally expected to see again. This is what's called a vesus kavua. Now, if we don't fall like Rabbi, if we fall like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, this needs to happen a 3rd time before rate lock, before you are locked in to 20 days. But, okay, so that's a machlokas. It sounds like Shmuel over here when he says that when it comes to Yamim, 2. Sounds like what Shmuel's doing is he's subscribing to the position of Rabbi. Okay? Stay tuned because we will discuss later on whether or not that's the position we take. Parenthetically, it won't be. But stay tuned. And then he says, when it comes to Vesus Aguf, the magic number is 1. What does that mean? What it basically means is that Vesus Aguf is so fundamentally different. It's not a question of spacing. We don't need a chazaka. Meaning that for any of the things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the yawning, the sneezing, the cramping, any of those things, we simply don't need a chazaka. Meaning it simply will suffice that if one time her onset of Nida is precipitated with any one of the physical reactions that's mentioned in the Mishnah. So then that's 1. Now, as I pointed out already, back in the Mishnah, our Mishnah doesn't seem to say that, because our Mishnah says, at the very end, that V'chol shekavala shosha pa'amim marries the vest. It sounds like our Mishnah says that even for these, you need 3 times. So, okay. So, it doesn't sound like our Mishnah subscribes to this. Now, Shmuel's an Amora, so it's hard for him to argue with a Tana. Okay, that's an issue. And finally, he has this 3rd thing, which is Lama Shalom Manu Chachamim. And anything the rabbis didn't count. Now, what's that talking about? Meaning, we have our Yamim covered, we have our Vestos Aguf covered, so what's something that's not mentioned here? So that's the Gemara's next question. Lama Shalom Manu Chachamim Lasuye Mayam Rav Yosef Lasuye Rosha covered aleve, kvedim aleve, rosachas vegosa. Well, maybe it's this condition that we just described a moment ago, where her head is very heavy and her limbs are very heavy, and okay, maybe that's what it's talking about. So amale abayamai kamash malan masnisani darparsha rabba barula. So the Gemara says, no, that's not, what are you talking about? That's not something that was left out of the Mishnah. It was in the Mishnah. It was encrypted in the Mishnah, but it's there. Meaning when the Mishnah says, and anything similar to that, so Rabba Barula says, what is included in that point of the Mishnah? Rosh HaKveda. So in other words, it's in the Mishnah. Elam Rabbi, Lasuya Achla Shom V'Rasa, V'Achla B'Tzam V'Rasa, Kasasa Pilpalim V'Rasa. So Shmuel says, no, you know what this 3rd category is talking about? Sorry, not Shmuel, Abaye. Abaye says, do you know what this 3rd category is talking about? It's talking about a whole different type of onset. Meaning onset can come through either interval of days, that's Yamim. It can come through a physiological reaction. I keep using the word reaction. It's not really a reaction. Meaning it's a physiological action, which then precipitates and brings about her onset. But that's her...
Prodrome.
But that is not in her control. Meaning it just simply happens. It's physiological. So fine, that's the 2nd category. What's the 3rd category that Shmuel's talking about? Where she actually brings it about. By, he gives a number of examples. Eating garlic, eating onions, chewing on pepper. Okay, so this is what's called now, right, I don't know if we have a good name for it, meaning it's not vesis aguf, that's the physiological phenomenon, our Mishnah. It's not vesis ayamim. In other words, it's something that she does that brings about the onset of her nida. So maybe you want to call this onus? I don't have a good name for it.
It's like a trigger.
It's a trigger, but it's a trigger that she causes. Okay. So, and for this, in other words, so this is not as, how do I say this? It is not come on its own. Right? This is not internal. This is external. So in order for something, for an external phenomenon to happen, meaning she's causing it about by eating the garlic or eating the onion and so forth and so on, so for that, you need to see this three times. And it's interesting because Shmuel, who's subscribing to Rebbe in this statement, clearly, because for Yamim, he says you only need two, but for external stimuli, you need three, even according to Rebbe. Because I guess the explanation is, and this is just me talking, take it for whatever it's worth, I guess the explanation is that because it's externally stimulated, so even two, even according to Rebbe, is not grounds enough to say, okay, fine, I get it. She eats garlic and then she starts having her onset of her nida. It's not, it's external. It's not internal, and so therefore two may not even be enough. I'm Rav Yosef, Lo Shmi'a LaHashmaita. So here we go, classic discussion in the Gemara. Rav Yosef says, I don't remember any of this. Now, you know what's coming next. Rav Yosef learned, knew it all, and then got very ill, lost his sight, and lost his memory. So very often when he's going back to the Beis Medrash and learning everything anew, which is just fantastic, Musar in general, how he just restarted life again and went back and just did it all over again. But very often he hears something and he doesn't remember, and it's sad, but then the students come over to him and said, Rav Yosef, not only did you know this, you're the one who taught it to us. So Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says to his Rebbe, At Amrisa Nialan, you taught us this. Vahamrina Nialan. A woman who is regular 15 days. Now 15 days, how do we explain that? Remember, 15 days probably means 15 days after she tovels in the mikvah. Right, we had this discussion back earlier in the Masechta. Because to say that if she goes on a schedule, a fixed schedule of 15 days, so that means that it's coming out during her Yemei Ziva, and we had a discussion whether or not a woman can set a schedule during her Yemei Ziva, right? Remember the good old days? We talked about this. So it could be that 15 days means after she tovels in the mikvah, so 15 really is 22. But I don't want to... In other words, it's already confusing enough. I don't want to confuse anymore. So, Haisa Limud Elios Roa Yom Chamisha Asar V'Shintel Yom Esrim. And then she changes. So, in other words, regular 15 days apart. Regular. Right? Kavua. And then she moves to now 20. Right? In other words, so day 15 comes around. Nothing happened. 5 days later, she now sees. So, Zevizah Asurim. So, next time, next interval rolls around. So she didn't lose her 15-day schedule, meaning it could still be 15 days. Now, 15 days from when? So, right, remember we also had a little bit of the discussion earlier, but let's assume 15 days from her last onset. Let's make it nice and simple. So, so in other words, the next time it rolls around, she has to worry about day 15, meaning that's still her vest kavua. She didn't lose it yet. And she also has to worry about day 20, because day 20 now seems to be, it's not kavua, seems to be your new interval. Shalosh pamim liyom esrim. So now, let's say three times now, she shifts over to day 20. So hutu yom chamisha asavikavu liyom esrim. So now, 20 is her new interval. Meaning, because it's now set, she's gone now three times where instead of going 15 days interval, she now goes 20 day interval. So now she's done that three times. She has now moved her vesis kavua from 15 to 20. Shenisha kavala vesa shetikven shalosh pamim. A woman does not change her vest until she actually sees the change three times over. V'amart lan alam. Now, you said, meaning this is now Abaye talking to Rav Yosef, on this brisa, here's what you said. Brice or Mishnah? Maybe it's a Mishnah. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Zu Divrei Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rabbi Shammai Mishum Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, son of Rabbi, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Ava Chachamim Omrim Ra'asa Inasricha Lo Lashanos V'Lo Lashalosh. But the Chachamim say Ra'asa, so if she saw, she doesn't need to repeat, and she doesn't need to see three times. The Amrin Anlach, and now we said to you, you gotta literally just go over the entire conversation, as you forgot the entire conversation. Lashanos Amar Lan Lashalosh Mivaye. Well, if you don't need to repeat, you certainly don't need to see three times, meaning what did that statement even mean? The Amartlan. So, and you explain to us like this. Lishanosh bevestos. Lishalosh beyamim. Meaning when it comes to vestos, and again, in this context, vestos means vestos agof. When it comes to vestos agof, yawning, sneezing, cramping. So there, you don't even need to go two times. Meaning one is enough. Exactly like what Shmuel said. Because in the world of Vestas Agof, we have Shmuel, we now have Rav Yosef all saying that you don't even need a chazakah. One time is enough to establish that the yawning, sneezing, cramping is what is introducing her onset. And when it comes to Yamim, we don't even need three. What do you mean you don't need three? Two is enough. Why is two enough? Because we don't subscribe to the position of Shimon Gamliel. Meaning we subscribe to the position of Rabbi that two makes a chazakah. The name of okay, good. V'neima zu devar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, now just one last point of interest. Meaning, did you see how it was introduced? Zu divrei, right? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Zu divrei, Rabban Gamliel, Bar Rabbi, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Meaning, and we know, we like attribution. We like making sure that we get it right. Who said it? But really, fundamentally, it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why did you have to say this was said by Rabbi Gamliel, son of Rabbi. What was that all about? So the Gemara explains, it goes like this. The name is Zu Devar Shimon Gamliel. HaKamash Malan Shmuel de Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi, Ke Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Svir Olay. That Shmuel wanted to make sure that we knew that Rabbi Gamliel, son of Rabbi, holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay? Okay, fine. Okay, and we don't necessarily follow that position. Take a look at the last Rashi that we just finished covering. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel, da hakamalam bechol duchte, da bai shloshe zimne lechazaka. Okay. I'm sorry. Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not like Rebbe, and so that you need three and not two. All right, that is our first topic of Vesas Hagof. Okay, so by Vesas Hagof, sneezing, sneezing, yawning, cramping, heavy head, right, abdominal pains, etc., etc., and they precipitate her onset. So that's now what's called, that's going to be our first vestas of the day. It's called vestas agof. And it could possibly be, it's really not clear from the Gemara, Shmuel's position is, Rav Yosef's position is that you don't even need a chazakah. One time will be sufficient. We move on to the Gemara now to Haisa limurz liozro betchilas avestos. Kol atar sha'asa betoch avestos tamea. Besof avestos, kol atar sha'asa besoch avestos taharos. Okay. Now we use vestos over here, and we're talking now about vestos agof. Now vestos agof, sneezing, yawning, or cramping. Okay. Now, when exactly is the onset coming? Depends. Meaning, every woman is different. And so it could be that sometimes it comes in the beginning of the yawn, in the middle of the yawn, or at the end of the yawn. Meaning, it could just simply be a function of the woman. So what the Mishnah is telling us is the following. So let's say she normally sees in the beginning of the vest, meaning at the very beginning of the yawn, right? At the very beginning of the cramp. That's when she normally sees. So call it Shasa Batocha Vesos Tameo. So now she knows that now, over the course of the yawn and over the course of the cramp, she's already Nida. Meaning because she knows from her own personal experience that it normally comes at the beginning of the Vesos Agof. Bisofa Vestos. But let's say it comes, again, this is her personal experience. This is how she has experienced in the past. Let's say the onset of Nida comes at the end of the Vest Agof. So that means not at the beginning of the yawn. I don't know how long a yawn we're talking about. Not at the beginning of the yawn, but it normally comes about at the end of the yawn. Okay, so now she knows that if she started the yawn and she's dealing with taharos, but she takes her hand off the taharos before she concludes her yawn, and now at the very conclusion of the yawn, she's no longer in contact with the taharos now remains tahor. Because for her own personal experience, she knows that it only comes at the end of her vest. So, kol atar she'asa b'tocha vest is taharos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af yamim v'sha'os vestos. Now, the first statement of the Mishnah goes totally undisputed. Everybody agrees that with vestos haguf, we can work with this type of precision. This vestos haguf is fundamentally different than vestos hayamim. It's not a question of figuring an interval. Vestos haguf is a simple function of a physiological body. And there is a confluence of events. And with that confluence of events, it's clear from the Mishnah that we could talk about this type of precision where, based on our own personal experience, she can judge whether or not it comes normally at the beginning of the yawn, the middle of the yawn, or the end of the yawn. Okay. What about vestos hayamim? Next topic of the Mishnah. We now transition into vestos hayamim. Vestos hayamim means that she sees with a certain regular interval. Now, vestos hayamim, by the way, could come, as I mentioned already, either date of the month, or it could come interval of days. We're going to be speaking mostly about interval of days. So, Rabbi Yossi Omer af yamim v'sha'os vestos, vestos. This works not only for vestos haguf, but according to Rabbi Yossi, this type of precision also works for vestos hayamim as well. So, for example, ha'isa liyos limud liyos roe im ha'netzachama. In asura ala im ha'netzachama. According to Rabbi Yossi, let's say the woman sees right before sunset. Sorry, sunrise. So, in other words, let's say she sees in a particular interval, but not only does she see in a particular interval, but not only can she predict the day, she can also predict exactly when during the day. Meaning it's right before sunrise, and it's clockwork right before sunrise. So according to Rav Yossi, she only needs to worry right before sunrise. Meaning it's with that kind of precision she can predict now, this is when it's going to come. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol hayom shalah. And Rav Yehuda says, uh-uh. In other words, if all she knows is that she is set to go on a certain day, so if she's set to go on a certain day, she has to worry that entire day. Now, give me a moment, because we're going to define in just a second, what does that mean, the entire day? But in other words, just right now, just to say the pshat in the Mishnah, meaning when she arrives at that day, she will have to concern herself that entire day not to involve herself with any taharos, and not to be with her husband. The Gemara starts off, Tana Ketzad Amar Rav Yossi Mei Yamim V'Sha'os Vestos. So the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. The Braisa here is very specific. Ha'isalim Lios Roa Miyamisrim Liyamisrim. Umi She'Sha'os L'She'Sha'os. So not only does she see every 20 days, but every 20 days, 6th hour of the day. Higia Yamisrim V'Lo Ra'asa Asur L'Shamish Kol She'Sha'os. Rishonos, I'm sorry, L'She'Sha'os. Higia Masrim V'Lo Ra'asa Asur l'shamish kol she'sha'os rishonos divrei Rav Yehuda. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, the first 6 hours of the days are off limit. Okay? Because she knows, she sees on the 20th day. Rabbi Yossi matir ad she'sha'os v'choshashes b'she'sha'os. Rabbi Yossi says no. Meaning, even when you get to day 20, and yes, even though she's totally expecting to see on this day, but because she always sees during the 6 hour, so for the first 6 hours of the day, up to the 6 hour, she's fine, according to Rav Yossi. Avru she'sha'os v'lo ra'asa. The 6 hour comes and goes. Okay? She's watching that 6 hour. And we're talking about just 1 hour of the day. The 6 hour. V'lo ra'asa. Asur l'shamish kol yam kula div Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, well, she's off limits for the rest of the day as well. Because you don't know. Meaning, even though she normally sees during the 6 hour, but Rav Yehuda says, look, we got to take the entire day into consideration. So the rest of the day she's asur. And Rav Yossi matir min mincha lamal, and Rav Yossi says, from mincha and onward, what does he mean by mincha? The mincha over here in this context means after the 6th hour, right? In the world of mincha, there's mincha gedola, mincha ketana. We're going to get to brachos in just a short couple of weeks from now. We're going to learn about all these afternoon markers. But right now, just for simplicity's sake, we just simply mean after the 6th hour. After the 6th hour, she's fine, according to Rav Yossi. Meaning, just like Vesta Saguf, women can predict with certain precision, according to Rav Yossi, same thing is true with Vesta Sayamim. That for the interval of day, as long as she has an expectation of which hour of the day she sees, she only needs to worry about that day and that hour. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, no. Meaning if a woman sees during that whole during a particular day, even if she normally sees during a particular hour, she has to worry about that whole day. At least from this brisa now, we now know, when we say the whole day, we don't mean a 24-hour unit. We mean day, we mean the 12-hour unit of morning till evening. Meaning it's clear from this example that was drawn out for us. She normally sees right in the middle of the day. She normally, noon is her time for seeing. But according to Rav Yehuda, from the morning until noon, she's prohibited to her husband. From noon until the afternoon, she will be prohibited to her husband as well. We're gonna use a word to describe this. We're going to call this an ona. Right? Ein vav nune. We're going to call this an ona. She's prohibited during that ona. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about this as we go on. Now we have a braisa that where Rav Yehuda says she's prohibited the whole night. And at this point, the Gemara thinks that what it means that we're at odds with one another, because we said that she has to abstain from her husband the entire day and the whole night, right? Is that what Rav Yehuda means? Lo kasha. So the Gemara says no, that's not what it means. It means like this. Is that if she sees in the beginning of the day, it's now the day that becomes prohibited to her, the entire day. If she sees the end of the night, it's the night where she's prohibited, not the day. So in other words, we are going to frame a certain 12-hour period. That 12-hour period will be determined by when she normally sees. If she normally sees at night, and it doesn't matter when she sees during the night, meaning beginning of the night, end of the night, middle of the night, the whole night now as a block becomes now her time where she has to abstain from with her husband from having intimacy. If it's during the day, same story. Gemara says, same story. That when Rav Yehuda says the whole night, he means because she normally sees at the end of the night. When Rav Yehuda says the whole day, it's because she's seeing at the beginning of the day. So now the Gemara takes a very clear stand on this issue. Who do we follow? Like Rav Yossi's precision, or like Rav Yehuda, where she has to block off a 12-hour period of time? So we follow like Rav Yehuda. A man needs to separate from his wife. Samuch levestan. Now v'kama amarava ona. Rava says an ona, a 12-hour period. I don't literally mean 12 hours, by the way. By 12 hours, I just simply mean either the night or the day. Obviously, based on the season, a day could be more than 12 hours, a night could be less than 12 hours, and obviously, switch the season, it could be the opposite. I say 12 hours, I just simply mean that as simply either day or night, but not both. Now, the Gemara is asking a question. The Gemara thinks right now that when Rav is saying an ona, it means tack on another ona. So my love ona achriti lo osa ona. So no, Rav meant that particular ona, meaning when she normally sees. So if she's normally seeing during the day, even if it's the beginning of the day, the whole day now becomes usher. If she sees at night, even if it's at the end of the night, the whole night becomes usher. Comes out now that Rav is making the same point two times over. Rav has said it in the context of this brisa of Rabbi Yirmiya, or Rabbi Yoshia, depending on what your girsa is. And Rava also said it as a tack on to our Mishnah. Meaning Rava says, Halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. V'tarti l'amali, why do we need Rava to say it twice? Tzricha, the Gemara says, it's necessary. There are two chidushim. Number one, I need Rava to tell to me, because I might have thought that this 12-hour period where she has to abstain, I might have thought abstention means abstention from taharos, right? Like I've said many times, nida is fundamentally a taharos masechta, meaning yes, it's true, it has a lot of halachic ramification regarding husband and wife, but fundamentally, it's a taharos masechta. So I might have thought that this 12-hour period of abstention means abstention from handling taharos, but not necessarily abstention of intimacy between husband and wife. So Rava wants to make sure that it's clear that we're talking about also labala. Number two is that if she has her usual occurrence coming at the end of an ona or at the beginning of an ona, I might have thought, okay, you know what? Maybe we should go into the next ona. Makes sense. Meaning, well, in other words, if she's normally staying at the end of the night, so all she needs is another 30 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever the case is, where she would then see the next day. So maybe we should then include the whole next day as part of her period of abstention. And Rava wants to be clear about that point as well. That's not correct. Meaning whenever she sees, it's going to be that block and not the block before, not the block afterwards. So if she sees that night, even if it's at the end of the night, it's only the night where she has to abstain and not the following day. In general, there's a tznius issue, but there's not a nida issue. There are issues of modesty, but there's no issue of nida. Haisalim yosliyos roli yom tesvav v'shinta liyos roli yom chaf. Yeah, it's a mishnah. I said earlier it's a brisa. I was wrong. It happens a lot. It's a mishnah. The mishnah says haisalim yosliyos roli yom tesvav. She normally sees on day 15. And then, after having a regular schedule of 15 days apart from one another, again, just to reiterate, 15 days over here probably means 15 days after she tovels in the mikvah, which really means 22 days. But, okay, I say that, I try not to be confusing, but that's probably the pshat. And then, 1 month, or right, one interval, she changes from 15 to 20. So now that means that the next time her shas nida rolls around, she has to worry about two intervals. She has to worry about her 15-day interval, which she hasn't yet uprooted. How long does it take to uproot a vesis kavua? Three times. She only changed one time, so she hasn't yet uprooted her 15. At the same time, however, she also saw at the 20-day interval, she can't ignore that now she may have a 20-day interval that she needs to worry about. So the next time it rolls around, she's got 2 days where she needs to separate from her husband. Day 15 and day 20. Shinta pamayim lios chaf. If now, let's say, on a second occasion now, it turns...
Nine in between.
Nine in between. Shinta lios pamayim liyom chaf. Now she moves from day 15 to day 20 a second time. So that means now that she skipped day 15 a second time. She moved to day 20 a second time. So now, still, 15 hasn't been uprooted because it has to be three times in order to uproot. It's only been twice. So 15 still is on the calendar as the day in which she has to abstain. And day 20 also. Now, day 20 is not fixed as a vest kavua. Because to fix something as a veskavu, you need three times, because we subscribe to Rosh Ben Gamliel. Shinta gimel pa'amim liyom chaf huter. I'm sorry. Liyom chaf huter tezvav v'kav liyom chaf. Now, for the third time now, she has moved to an interval of 20 days. So now that's it. And when I say that's it, I mean it in two ways. Number one, that's it, meaning now 20 is her new 15. Right, 20 is the new 15. So her now schedule has been moved to 20. So 20 is her new vest kavua, and she's uprooted now 15. She ain't. Just give me a moment. Absolutely, she ain't isha kavas la vest. Ad she take ve'enu gimel pa'amim ve'ena mataris mena vest. Ad she take akar mimenu gimel pa'amim. So to establish a vest, you need three times. To uproot a vest, you need three times. Ben. No. First of all, We mentioned earlier whether Vestos or Daraisa or Darabanan, right? That was a machlokas we had early on in the Masechta, meaning what happens on this expected time. If she does a bedika during this expected time and nothing occurred, she'll be fine. If she didn't do a bedika,
bedika doesn't start on the 15th.
No.
If
Vestos or Daraisa, right? Again, this was a machlokas. If Vestos or Daraisa and she doesn't do a bedika, so then there's what to talk about. Meaning, as you just explained, as you pointed out, yeah, then there would be a big issue. But if Vestos are, and even if that's true, meaning even if Vestos or Daraisa, she could do a bedika during the entire duration of when she expected it to come, right? We talked about that earlier, or what we call the moch tachuk. And if there's no blood, okay, so she expected it to come. She did an internal examination during that time period. She didn't see it. Okay, she's fine. And we take the position of Vestos being derabanan, which means that she should do an examination during that time period, but if she doesn't and she didn't see blood, she's fine. Itmar, we are starting the Gemara 1 Samach Dal Amad Aleph. Rasa Yom Chamisha Asam Lechodesh Azeh. V'yom tezayin lechodesh zeh. V'yom shivasar lechodesh zeh. Okay, so she sees 15 days, then 16 days, and 17 days. So now we get to the fun stuff. Okay, so now she has a pattern. But this is a somewhat more complex pattern than what we described earlier. We were talking about a fixed rate of either 15 days apart or 20 days apart. But now we'd like to know, what if they're coming staggered? What if it's 15, 16, and 17? Now, there's much discussion over here. Are we talking about 15 days interval apart? Are we talking about the 15th day of the month? Okay? You see Tosfos. Okay, much discussed about that. But right now, let's just deal with it very simply. She's staggering. So it's 15, 16, 17. So, Rav says, Kavala Vest Ledilug, Ushmul Amar Achitishalish Bedilug. So now, look. First, let's start off with where we agree. We all agree that if it's 20, followed by 20, followed by 20, good. She's locked in. That we all agree upon. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Hard to disagree. And the reason why is because we now know she's in a schedule of 20. Here, however, it becomes more complicated. Why? Because here it's 15 to 16. How do you count that? Do you count that as 1, or do you count that as 1 and 2? 16 to 17. And how is that counted? Is that 2 and 3, or is that just simply 2? 17 to 18. Right? You see the confusion? Meaning, it's just a simple, once we're now looking at a staggered pattern, it's now just a simple question of how to count that staggered pattern. Rav Amar Kavalaves, meaning Rav says, 15, 16, 17, locked. She's locked into this pattern of now being a Ves Kavua, it's a fixed schedule, just happens to be, we figured out the pattern, it's a very simple pattern. It's X plus 1. So every now, day 18, Ves Kavua for day 18. Shmuel says no, because I'm giving away the Gemara, the punchline of the Gemara. But fine, so I'll give it away. Okay? Spoiler alert. So the Shmuel says that's not how you count. You don't count 15, 16, 1, and 2. 15 to 16 is 1. 16 to 17 is 2. And 17 to 18 is 3. Okay? That is, so Shmuel and Rav are arguing about simply, how do you count it? Now, that's not the pshat the Gemara originally offers. The Gemara thinks, let's start off with explaining the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as the good old machlokas of Rabbi Rav Shimon Gamliel in terms of establishing a chazaka. Did Tanya, Nisus L'Rishon Omeis, L'Sheni Omeis, L'Shishli, Lo Sinase. Woman's married to her first time, husband died. Married a second guy, her husband dies. Okay, what is she? She's a killer. plain and simple. Now, cause of death, who knows? Here's all we know. She's bearing her husbands. So now, the third guy shouldn't marry her. She's muchzak.
What if the Can you work it the other way? What if a man had two wives die?
Right. It's a fair question. I don't know the answer. It's a reasonable question. So lo sinasi diver Rebbe. So a Rebbe says we have a chazak in place. Okay, the chazak now is in play. No, don't. We say to the third guy, don't marry her, especially if you know what's good for you. And Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says no. Legimel tinase, ledalo tinase. Well, no, she's not mochzak yet. Three makes a chazaka, not two. So if to the third guy we say, please. correct. Now, and what the Gemara now is thinking is, that's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, no. The Kuli Amaka Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. And by the way, at this point, when the Gemara says, everyone holds like Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, it makes you now look back at the beginning of today's daf, and it really makes you think, what was Shmuel doing before. Remember the very beginning of the daf on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, where Shmuel was saying, well, for Vesas Agov you only need one, and for Yamim you need two, meaning Shmuel was espousing the position there of Rebbe, where the Gemara now here is advancing that according to Rav and according to Shmuel, they both fall like Rishon and Gamliel. Huh. Alright, I'm raising that as an issue. I don't have much of a solution, but okay. V'hacha b'hacha miflegi, Rav Savar Chamisha Asar Minyanu Shmuel Savar Kem Adala B'dilug Chazisa La Minyanahu. And the Gemara says, the correct shot over here is, as I already explained, it's a question of how to count. Meaning 15, because 15 doesn't go 15, 15, 15, it goes 15 to 16, you don't count that as 1 and 2 according to Shmuel, you simply count that as 1. Okay. Now, Eisvei the Gemara challenges.
Wait, isn't that the answer?
No, that's the explanation. And Rav will tell you, no. Rav will tell you 15 counts as 1. 16 counts as 2. 17 counts as 3.
Yeah. No, but that's why Shmuel said before you need 2, because he counts the first 2.
No, but Shmuel was just simply, he wasn't talking about staggered Nida. He was talking about a simple, regular interval back then. The staggered discussion starts now. Okay, Eis ve the Gemara challenges Haisalim Limud Liyos Roa Yom Tesva Vishintal Yom Shisha Asar Zevazah Surin Shintal Yom Shiva Asar Hutra Shisha Asar Vinesar Chamisha Asar Vishiva Asar Shintal Yom Shmona Asar Hutra Kulan Vein Asar Ela Mishmona Asar Ve'elach. The Braisa gives a very clear illustration of moving up the ladder. She goes from 15 to 16. She goes from 16 to 17. She goes from 17 to 18. And the Braisa says, very clearly, only from 18 and onward now are we talking about a fixed schedule. Okay. That's going like Shmuel. Not like Rav. Kasha l'Rav. So that's difficult. Amalecha Rav l'mudashani. So Rav says, look, I have a very simple answer. It's such a simple answer. You want to go over that brisa again? The brisa starts off by saying, "Haisa limuda lios roa tezvav." It's not that the woman just for the first time in her life saw on a 15-day interval. It means day 15 was set. She was used to seeing day 15. So you can't, in this circumstance, look at day 15 and say, oh, that's part of a staggered schedule. 15 to 16, 16 to 17. You can't do that over here because day 15 was already part of her regular schedule. I'm not talking about that scenario, says Rav. I'm talking about a scenario where, let's say it's the first time in a woman's life where she is actually establishing her schedule. So she goes 15. Then the next time she went, 16. Then the next time she goes, 17. Rav says, that's it. That's all you need. That's 1, 2, and 3. That's what I'm talking about. The Bryce is talking about where you had a woman who already had a schedule of 15. So even there, I agree. You can't look at 15 over there as part of now a staggered schedule. And the Gemara says, and you know what? Such a good answer. Right, the Gemara says the question even offends me. Meaning, right, sometimes when an answer is so crystal clear, the Gemara says, and what were you even thinking? So Lemuda is directly. The Gemara says, now I'll tell you what we were thinking. So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that since she's Lemuda, in other words, since she's used to saying it, so and now she is Oker, so maybe 2 times would be enough to be Oker, and the Chiddush is, though, that's not correct. You need to be Oker with 3 times, which in of itself, we already learned back in the Mishnah, Okay. Meizer Rasa Yom Esrim Ve'echad B'chodesh Zeh. V'yom Esrim V'shnayim B'chodesh Zeh. Yom Esrim V'shlosha B'chodesh Zeh. Kavala Vest Sirga L'yom Esrim V'arba. Lo Kavala, I'm sorry. Lo Kavala Vest. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa 21, 22, 23. So the Braisa says she's locked in. To Yufta de Shmuel. Now this poses a problem to Shmuel. Because remember how Shmuel counts? You don't count 21 as one. You count 21 to 22, that's one. 22 to 23, that's two. So it comes out that this price is difficult for Shmuel. Amar Chashmuel, Achma Maiskin, Kagon de Regila Mechze B'yom Esrim, V'shinsel Yom Esrim Ve'echad. So Shmuel says, no, this price is talking about where she normally sees on day 20, and she moved from 20 to 21. Oh, okay, good. So 20 to 21, one. 21 to 22, two. 23, 24, 3. That's what the Brice is talking about. And the Gemara says, Dekanami Deshevkin Liyam Esrim Venaka Liyam Esrim Ve'echad. Shema Mina. And the Gemara says, and it makes sense because every time we talk about a certain schedule, we either you're throwing around numbers like 15, 20, meaning we enjoy the whole numbers. And here the Brice is starting off with day 21. That's odd. Oh, it must be that we're talking about a woman who normally sees on day 20. Okay, just a little bit more for today and then we'll stop. Sheina isha kavala vesta shetikven amar papa lo amar nela mikva vala mechashla bechadazimna chaisha. Rapapa states the following halacha. Look, three times makes a vest kavua. But after one interval, you have to worry about that one interval. The Gemara says, Rapapa, you know, everything you're saying is great, but it's exactly what we learned back in the Mishnah. My kamashmal and tanina, haisalem udalios ro yom chamishasar vishintal yom esrim ze vize asurim. So our Mishnah says very clearly, she went 15 and she moved to day 20. So the next time around, she has to got to worry about day 15 and she's got to worry about day 20. Now, she hasn't fixed a cycle for day 20, but she's got to worry about day 20. That's exactly what Rav Papa taught us. But Rav Papa, you're an Amora, and what we just learned is a Mishnah. So what are you adding to our understanding? The Gemara explains like this. The example in our Mishnah, when is the next, what does she have to worry about day 20? Day 20 is a day where she's eligible to become a Nida. But let's do a different example. Let's use an example where it comes out that the day where she's now changed to is the day where she's not expected to be a Nida. Dahainu, it's during her Yemei Ziva. In other words, let's say she moves from day 15 to day 10. I know that's strange, but she went from day 15 to day 10. Well, day 10 is during her Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva, as we've discussed time and again, are days where she's not expected to bleed during her Yemei Ziva. I might have thought she shouldn't have to worry about that at all. What Rav Papa is telling us is that no, even if her day that she needs to concern with comes out not during her Yemei Nida, but during her Yemei Ziva, she still has to be Choshesh. Okay. We'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. We wanted to finish the perek. We'll do that tomorrow. And we will start the 10th perek of Masechta Nida tomorrow in Yirtzeh Hashem.